Iron is a great conference. People from all over the United States go. I've been several times, and it isn't cheap. It used to be when they started because it was highly subsidized, but you stay there from, I think, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and some of us stayed till Sunday morning and then came back on Sunday morning after breaking of bread. But very good conference, and attended by people all over the United States, which is really neat to meet with other Christians from other chapels all across North America. This morning, I'd like to speak with you regarding something that has been on my heart and something that I've been really running through my brain a lot, and it's prayer. Now you say, prayer? What about prayer? Well, I would ask you a question this morning. Has prayer become a cliche in North America? And even worse, has prayer become a cliche in our churches, in our own Christian lives? Now, what you say, what's a cliche? Well, I looked up the definition, and I have that for you. A cliche is something, most often a phrase or expression, that is overused, now listen to this, or used outside its original context, so that its original impact and meaning are lost. Have you ever heard of someone in distress and said to them, I'll pray for you? I must admit that I have. Have you ever forgot to pray for them? I have to admit that I have. In other words, prayer has almost become a cliche, even for us. We can say it because it's a nice thing to say. But do we do it? Is this something we actually do? How many times have you heard a politician? I've heard a lot of your politicians on the television recently. And I've heard Obama years ago say, after one of the tragedies, I can't remember which one, but I think he said it after every one of them, but he said, our prayers go out to the families. And I go, really? Do they really pray? Did they really pray? I heard Nancy Pelosi say this week, I'll pray for Trump. Really? So she's going to tear him apart on one side, and she's going to pray for him on the other side. And the question becomes, though, what is prayer? What is prayer? We went recently to a elderly lady's house. We had her at our house, and we went to her house. And, of course, I prayed for the meal when she was at our house. So she's a widow now, and when we were at her house, she prayed for the meal, too. And she prayed, God is good, God is great. Let us thank him for this food. And you say, well, isn't that okay? Yeah, it is, actually. If that's from your heart, and you're saying, you know, God is good, is really good. And God is great, is really good. Let us thank him for this food. So if it's coming from my heart, and it's expressed that I'm saying right to God, even though it's simple, I can think of, and I know this doesn't happen anymore, but when I was in elementary school, that's a few years back, but when I was in elementary school, every day started with the Lord's Prayer. The whole class would stand, and we would say the Lord's Prayer. And it was something, and you look at that, and you say, is that really very effective? Well, no, not unless you're praying, you know, our Father, and he is your Father. See, prayer is something, it's a conversation with your Father. And so when we say the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, his name is to be, wow. And that's what the Lord's Prayer, and that was what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples, because the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And that's when it's really not the Lord's Prayer, it's actually the disciples' prayer. Because Jesus was teaching them how to pray. So what my question then this morning is, what part should prayer play in a Christian's life? Now notice what I said, in a Christian's life. You have to be born again to effectively pray. Because you can pray, and a lot of people do pray, but they're praying to something or someone that they really don't know. And I'd like to suggest to you that prayer is a conversation with God. And I think we've got somewhat into the habit of being really formal in prayer. Oh, Father, we call upon you now. You know, and it's like, you really, would you talk to somebody that way? Not really, would we? But I say, oh, Father, I'm coming to you. You know what's going on in my life right now. You know what's happening in my heart. You know I got a lot of anxiety right now. You know my brother is dying of cancer and probably has been gone and home to heaven because he's born again. You know, and to talk to him, you know, just relieve his pain right now. Be his comfort. You know, we pray our passion to our Father who is our Father. He's our Father because he sent Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross on our behalf. And when we accept what Jesus Christ did, paid for my sin, for your sin on that cross, we become actually part of the family of God. So what does that mean? That means he is our Father. So when we pray our Father, we're actually praying to our Father, not just to somebody up there somehow that may be a good thing to do. And I think that's what's happened a lot with prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I'd like to look at scripture this morning, and it's going to be like a little bit like popcorn because we're going to jump all over the place. But I'd like to look at scripture and say, okay, what does scripture say about prayer? So 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 18, it says, and most of you probably know these verses, rejoice always. Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? But that's part of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Oh, how do you do that? And we're going to talk about that this morning. How do you pray without ceasing? And then verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it's the will of God for your life and my life is that we give thanks in everything. I was just telling someone this morning, I think it was Steve, that this past week is 9 years since I had my stroke. And people ask me, well, did you give thanks for your stroke? I didn't say when I woke up paralyzed in the hospital, I didn't say, Lord, thank you for paralyzing, for my being paralyzed, because I don't think God paralyzed me. The stroke paralyzed me. I'm a human being, and a blood clot did it. But, you know, I had the joy of the Lord. When that happened, I was, and a lot of people are that way. I had the joy of the Lord, and I simply turned to him and said, God, my Father, I don't know why this happened. I don't know what's going to happen, if I'm going to even live. But I want my life, whatever's left, I want it to be to your honor and to your glory. So it was turning to my Father. See, that was prayer. And it wasn't a formal thing where I said, okay, now I got to pray. I started talking to God. I woke up. I realized, uh-oh, it's not working. My right side isn't moving. And so I turn to God. You might ask, you say, well, if God is sovereign, like if God is in control of everything in the world, isn't prayer kind of useless? Like, isn't it, whatever God wants to happen is going to happen, so why should I pray? I'd like to suggest to you that prayer is one of the means God uses or ordained to accomplish his will in this earth. And we're going to look at scriptures that we're instructed as believers to pray. It's well been very well said that the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done. Lord, let this happen and let that happen and help me to be this and help me to that and so on and so forth. But to get God's will done on earth. What is the Lord's Prayer? At the end it says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want God's will up there. Whatever He wants, that's what we want. So we look at prayer, we say, well, is prayer that important? Now you look at it and say, okay, Jesus was the Son of God. Did He pray? Guess what, folks? He did. Why would Jesus pray? Because He was the Son of God, right? So why would He pray? Because He was talking to His Father. And that's what I'm suggesting to you, that we have the privilege and the responsibility to do as Christians today, to talk to our Father in heaven. Matthew 9:38 says this. It says, Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest. And this is Jesus talking. He says, Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Why would Jesus tell the disciples to pray that God would send out laborers? Because God wants us to pray for things like that. And Jesus was teaching the disciples that very thing. Verse 23, it says, And when He had sent the multitudes away, so Jesus is speaking to the multitudes, it says He went up on the mountain by Himself. Why? To pray. Now, when evening came, He was there alone. And I'd like to suggest to you that prayer is something that's very difficult to do if you're in a crowded room, or you're sitting and the television's on, or the radio's blaring. You have to be alone, I believe, to pray. Now, you don't always have to be alone to pray. But you have, in order for you to have a conversation for God, how many of you find that there are a lot of distractions in your life? I have to admit, man, there are a lot of distractions. I have a hard time keeping my brain centered in on one thing because it keeps going this way and that way and this way and that way. And we're going to look at a little bit more about this morning. And then Matthew 9:13 says, Then the little children were brought to Him that He might put His hands on them and pray. So the little children were brought to Jesus, and Jesus prayed over those little children. Mark 6:46, And when He had sent them away, He departed to the mountain to pray. In Luke 11, chapter 1, it says, Now it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, Jesus was praying. So we see often in Scripture that Jesus was praying. So if it's important for Jesus to pray, how important is it for you to pray and for me to pray? It's very important. In Luke 22, He told the disciples, He says, When He came to that place, He said to them, Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Oh. He's telling the disciples to pray that they wouldn't enter into temptation. Now, one of the things, and it's become almost a pet peeve of mine, one of the things that I feel like with our prayer meeting, you get all this list, all these people with a bad hip and a bad knee and a bad elbow and a bad this and a bad, and we pray about all these people that are sick. And we look at Scripture. How often Scripture prayers are about our health? Very often? Not very often. What is it about? Pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that God will protect this individual. Pray that God will give this person a peace. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for people who are sick. Okay? But I'm just saying that that shouldn't be our only focus. We should be praying for the spiritual welfare of each other. Pray that God will protect him, protect his mind, keep his mind centered on God. We need to pray that. In John 17:15, he says, Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. He's praying to God. So I'm not praying that you'll take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So as we pray, we're praying that God will keep them from the evil one. You say, well, wouldn't God do that anyway? Well, Jesus is telling the disciples to pray that, so it means that we should be doing the same thing. So for our kids or our grandkids, we should be praying specifically for each one of them that God would keep them from this world. Steve and I were talking a little bit that it's just, to me, it's just become an explosion almost. If you look at television now, how many programs on network television have at least one homosexual in them as a main character? We started watching one last night. I don't know if you've seen the ads on it. Tommy, about the first female chief of police of Los Angeles. So in that first episode, guess what? She's a lesbian. She was married, she got divorced, and now she's a lesbian. So what they're trying to do, the world's trying to do, is they're trying to program our minds that this is normal, that this is the way it is. You're born that way and you can't help it. But that's not what Scripture teaches us. But the world is trying to impress upon us in a very subtle way. So we need to pray for our children, for our young people, that God will keep them pure in mind, but also keep them from the evil one. So we ask the question then, what is prayer? Prayer is not a means of changing God's mind. So it's not a matter of saying, okay, God, I'm trying to change your mind here. Pray, again, is seeking to know God that we might be changed. Seeking to know God that we might be changed. It's been my experience as I've been doing this with prayer for the last probably 3 or 4 months, just trying to get it in my mind and say, okay, how can I be more effective at prayer? I read these biographies about these men of old and women, and they started off their day with an hour and a half of prayer. I won't ask you to put up your hand. How many of you have ever spent an hour and a half in prayer? I think, and I go, really? An hour and a half? Like 10 minutes is kind of a long time. And so I'm saying to myself, how did these men start off the day with an hour and a half in prayer? What was going on? What did they pray about? You know, you say, well, they had a lot of friends. And no, I don't think so. They're praying to, and my experience has been, because I've been doing this, I've been praying and I've realized that, you know what? God's speaking back to me. And you say, what do you mean? I say, all of a sudden, God brings into my mind somebody, and then I turn and I pray for that individual. Or God brings into my mind, you know what? The way you spoke to so-and-so really wasn't appropriate. It wasn't right. And then I will confess it. So in other words, God convicts my heart when I'm in conversation with him about things that I need to change in my life. And so what I'm suggesting to you, that prayer is a conversation between God and me. He speaks to me, and I speak to him. And I think in my life, and I don't know about you, but in my life, I think it's been too much of a one way. Like where I would come into God's presence and I say, okay, God, these are the things I would like. You know, I'm not talking about things I want in my life, but I'm, you know, Lord, convict this person and help this person in this, and you know, heal this person or give them a comfort in what they're going through. It's my request, and I don't sit there quiet enough and let him talk back to me. E.M. Bounds, who wrote a book on prayer, said this: prayer should not be required. Should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. Why is the prayer meeting so typically under-attended? And the reason is, I believe, is I think people don't really understand that prayer really is effective. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So if I'm going to be in conversation with God, I need to be still. You know, so it means drawing myself aside from all the other stuff that's happening around me. I need to be still so he can talk to me. Jeremiah 29, verse 12, 13 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. Listen to this, and I will listen to you." This is God speaking. "Go, call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." When you search for me with all your heart. Psalm 139, verse 23. "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day long." Now, three important things you need, I think all of us need to know as we consider this whole area of prayer, is number one, that God cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon me," or upon him, "for he cares for you." This is Peter's. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for me." Now that's my stroke verse. That's the verse that became my sort of banner after my stroke. Cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. So I don't know what's going to happen, but he cares for me. The second thing is you want to realize is that God hears you. Psalm 102 says, "He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer." So God regards your prayers. He regards my prayers. Isaiah 30, verse 19. "He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you." And 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." Now listen, his ears are open to their prayers. God wants us to come to him in prayer. It says, "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So he cares for you, he hears you, and the third thing is that we need to know as we approach prayer is that you can pray with confidence. You can pray with confidence. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." We have boldness and access to the very God of heaven. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and grace to help in a time of need." So we pray when we have needs. We pray when we're happy. We pray for things that we're happy about. And it needs to be part of our life. So very quickly, this morning, I want to look at it. We could spend a lot more time on this, but what I want to do is look at five things very quickly about prayer and why we should pray. And the five things are prayer is important. Number one, prayer draws us close to God. Prayer is powerful. Prayer brings peace. And prayer protect us. So the first one then is prayer is important. Colossians 4:2 says this. Now listen, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, does that sound that it may be kind of important for us to do? It doesn't. It says, continue earnestly. What does earnestly mean? Man, that's really putting your all into it. Being vigilant. Vigilant means intense, unremitting watchfulness. We're intense about what we're doing. Just think of it. God wants to hear from me, and he wants to hear from you if you're a child of his. He wants to hear you, and he wants to fulfill the needs that you have. First Timothy 2:1 says, therefore I exhort you. So Timothy's saying, I exhort you. So that's I beg you. First of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made to all men. Now, a little homework you can do on your own is, why does it say supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks? Well, we know what giving thanks is. Supplications, prayers. What's the difference between a supplication and a prayer? I thought they were the same thing. Intercessions. We know what intercessions is. I'm praying on your behalf. I'm saying, you know, John's going through a real tough time right now, and he's really, Lord, give him a sense of peace. Help him to understand that you love him. So that's an intercession. But a supplication, what's the difference between that and a prayer? So I kind of did a little homework and looked on my own, and I found that prayer is, again, this is somebody's idea, but prayer is an acknowledgement of what God has done and giving thanks for things in my life. Supplication is a meek and humble, earnest plea for a specific need that somebody has. So if we have somebody that has an issue and we're supplicating on their part, what we're doing is praying specifically for that person, that God would be their portion. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So prayer is important, and we should be praying for other believers. We should be praying for you here. I should be praying for you here. You should be praying for us at Oakwood. Now, as much as you know a few of us from Oakwood, so you know a little bit about bringing before the Lord other believers. There are other believers that you know that are struggling and going through difficult times. We need to be praying on their behalf. Second thing then is prayer draws us close to God. Prayer draws us close to God. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. In other words, it's progressive. As we pray with the Lord, we become more intimate. We begin to understand him more. And our life begins to change because we know that he would not approve of what we might say or do. So prayer draws us close to God. We enter deeply and directly into a relationship with God when we pray. And I'm suggesting to you, it's like God in heaven. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for sending him. And I thank you that you are the be-all and end-all. I told Steve, too, that we just had a message a few weeks ago on the aseity of God. And he said, what's that? And if I ask the most of you here, does anyone here know what the aseity of God is? I didn't know. Well, Steve does, because I told him. But the aseity of God is that God is self-existent, that God existed before anything. He's always existed. Now, for our human minds, that blows us away. We say, really? How could that be? How could he always be? But as we understand that God is that great a God, but he still cares about you. You remember when Lazarus died? What did Jesus do? Jesus wept. He had that emotion that you and I have when one of our friends dies. He wept for him. Now, he knew what was going to happen. He knew where that friend was going. But he still wept. And for us, we get to know the heart of God as we enter into prayer. Now, I am not telling you this as a matter of, I got it all together now. I'm telling you, this is the journey that I'm entering and going through right now. So the third one is, prayer is powerful. Now, this is the one that bothers me the most. And I haven't worked it out. Because this is what Scripture says. Whether you like it or not, this is what Scripture says. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be opened. Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. James 5:16, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Now my struggle, I'll share it with you. My struggle is I can't really wrap my mind around it. Because what Scripture says, if I ask and I believe, I will receive. So my brother is right now dying of cancer. He's probably only, we don't have no idea how few days he has. But he's been going through a journey, and he had this last hope was a chemo series. And I thought, well, you know what, going through this with prayer, I'm going to try it, you guys. So I prayed that that chemo would stop his tumor. Guess what? He went through the chemo, got a CAT scan. The tumor had spread to other parts of his body. The chemo didn't work. How come, God? I asked. So what I'm still struggling with, I'm just sharing this with you. As I'm sharing, these scriptures mean something in our lives. What does it really mean? Then I think of the Apostle Paul, and he prayed, what it says, three times, that whatever ailment he had would be taken away, right? Was it taken away? No. Was the Apostle Paul believe? Yes. So how come God didn't take it away? Well, God must have had something else in mind for the Apostle. He must have known that that ailment would make the Apostle Paul more effective. So I look at this and I have to say, okay, this is something to do with the will of God. So, and I think a lot of Christians, or a lot of people say that if you pray in God's will, you're being a wimp. And you're basically copping out because you're just saying, well, that will happen if God will. Well, we really should pray that way. If God wills it, Lord, if you will it, this is what I want. But if there's something better, then we want that. Your will to be done. 1 John 3:21-22 says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. That means if our heart, we don't have a guilty conscience, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask of him, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So another element of that is about my life. If I'm in sin in my life, if I'm involved with pornography, or if I'm involved with other sexual sins, or if I'm involved with some sins, can I expect God to answer my prayers? Scripture seems to indicate no. It's the prayer of the righteous. In other words, I've come before God and I dealt with my sin, and then I pray and request it. And we could go on with that, but we don't have the time. And then the fourth one is that prayer brings peace. And this is true. I know this one in my life because I've experienced this. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now listen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now I say that to you, and I've said this to you before. The stroke that I had was a big event in my life that had a big impact on me because it affected me. And if you saw me walking up here, you'd say it's still affecting you some. But the point is that through that experience, I look and I actually do thank God that I went through that experience. I don't thank Him that I was paralyzed and that I couldn't walk, but I thank Him that He took me through that and I experienced the peace of God. It was something that I can't even explain. Like that morning in the hospital when I woke up paralyzed, you think, were you afraid? Were you mad at God? Were you angry? And the answer is no, it wasn't any of those things. I was just, I'm paralyzed. God? So immediately, I say that, you say, well, you must be some super holy person. No, it's just that all of my life, since I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, whenever I have any issues, what do? I turn to Him. So when I woke up paralyzed, what do? I turn to Him. I immediately began talking to God in that hospital bed and just say, Lord, I don't know why this happened. I don't know what you have in mind. But whatever it is, let it be to your honor and glory. I had peace. I mentioned to you before, I think I had one experience in my life where, you know, I tell people, and I'm not a worrier overly. I mean, I do worry, like everybody does. But I'm not a real big worrier. I know someone who is, and I won't mention to you who that might be. But I worried one time when I applied for a job. This was back in my history. And I had an interview, and they didn't announce who got the job for a month. And that whole month, I went over in my mind, I should have said that. I should have did that. I should have did that. I should have did that. I worried. I woke up. Well, not woke up. I actually spoke at Turner Road. And that night I came home and I had a bleeding ulcer. I got an ulcer from worry. And guess what? I got the job. So I did all that worrying for a month. And then, did it really affect the difference? No, it didn't make any difference at all. But it affected my health because I worried. What if I could have, going back, I should have just rested in God. Say, God, if it's your will, give me the job. If it's not, that's great. It's up to you. You know what's best for me. And the last one, share very quickly with you, is that prayer protects us. In John 17, verse 15, Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. We've read that verse once already. In Matthew 6, 13, the Lord's prayer, the disciples' prayer, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So prayer protects us. We pray for the protection of others and for protection of ourselves. In Luke 21, verse 36, and this is from, interesting, from Darby's translation way back when. Watch therefore, praying at every season, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which are about to come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you will escape all these things that are coming. So we look at this and we say that prayer is an important part of our life, and should be. Prayer is a conversation with God. So we saw that prayer was important. It draws us close to God. It's powerful. It brings peace, and it protects us. And I'd like you to remember, and again, I'm just on this journey myself, so I share this with you. It's a conversation with God. Prayer is a conversation. And I'm trying in my own life to make that more of a reality. When it says in Scripture, pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Well, you know what? You're traveling down the road and you just, you know, pray. Something comes to mind about somebody or something in your life or something, and you just pray. So when it says pray without ceasing, you say, hey, man, I got a job. How can I do that? How can I keep praying all day long when I got to do my job? Well, the point is that you're in an attitude of prayer, so that you're constantly thinking about the Lord being there, and you're turning to Him all through the day. Not that you're going into a formal prayer time and said, okay, Lord, but rather you're setting up that prayer, oh, Lord, help me. Sally and I have a habit or tradition that we have done our whole married life. When we go away, we pray for protection as we travel, that the Lord will keep me alert, and He will keep the other characters around me alert, and that he will keep us safe. And I can just think of one thing that we had was scary. We prayed. We were on the road. We were going through construction on the 401 last summer, I believe it was, and it was through a construction zone, and for some reason, traffic had cleared, and it was moving great, and wherever my attention was, I don't know, but I think I was looking at the construction over on the side, and I looked forward, and the guys in front of me had stopped, and I had prayed that the Lord would give me, you know, you can ask my wife, I don't know how in the world I did not rear-end the guy in front of me. I got the van under control, got it off to the side. I actually ended up beside him in the construction zone in the stop traffic. My whole heart is like this, you know. But I just pray without ceasing, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me to react properly to avoid that situation. That, I believe, is what is meant by pray without ceasing. That our daily life be dependent upon the Lord. That we're always sending up these, hey, Lord, I'm here. Help me in this. Help me in that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. First of all, we thank you that you are our Father. We thank you that you do love us. And Lord, it amazes us that Scripture tells us that we need to pray. Jesus prayed, and we need to pray. So help us in our lives to really seriously talk to you each day about all the things that are going on. And help us, Lord, each one of us, to know your will, to know your direction, and to live according to that will. So we just commit each believer here to you. And again, we ask, Lord, as our supplication, we ask that you work in our hearts and draw us closer to our Savior. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.